Take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. And then if you'd stand with me, we'll read God's Word. Our text begins in verse 16. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. On one of those days as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed, through the tiles, into the midst, before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your presence here in our midst. We magnify your holy name. Lord, I ask you that you take me beyond myself. I ask you to anoint me by your Holy Spirit. Take a coal from off your altar and touch my lips. Purify this vessel. Cleanse me, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I rarely title a sermon before I preach it. But the title today is called "The Four with Faith." Their decision had not been made on impulse. But as they moved through the streets of Capernaum that day, to the casual observer, it would have looked like they were moving against the flow of traffic. Word had traveled fast. He was back in town. It's most likely that some of the young men near the shore or on the docks had spread the word. Matthew 9 verse 1 says that he had entered into a ship and passed over and had come into his own city. Capernaum was Christ's northern base of operations. And even though he crossed all over Judea, he always came back to the place that he was familiar with, Capernaum. The Gospel of Mark in the ESV says it was reported that he was at home. The King James Version says it this way, "And it was noised that he was in the house." That sounds like a rock group, doesn't it? It was noised that he was in the house. All three synoptic Gospels record this event. Each one delivering unique aspects of what took place. I think those four men had discussed ahead of time what they were going to do. I think over the last several days, maybe the last several weeks, they had put a plan together of what would take place the next time he was in town. And when the word spread, they started heading to the place they were all intent to go. Everybody else was streaming towards Peter's house. They were headed the other direction. Verse 18 says, they were seeking to bring him and lay him before Jesus. It's clear in all three Gospels that they were driven by the absolute confidence that if they got their friend in front of Jesus Christ, he would do something for them. Think about that. The one in need was, he was incapable of doing it by himself. He was paralyzed, unable to move under his own power. Can you imagine what was going through his mind when that door burst open and those four men stormed into his house, grabbed the four corners of his bed, picked him up, and headed out the door into the street? Think about it. He was overwhelmed that four men would care so much for him that they would do this. His heart must have been pounding. Is this for real? The healer is back. Were those the words they said? We don't have time to wait. That small mattress woven of flax and straw. And they hurried through the streets. They only had to carry him maybe a few blocks. It might have been even a shorter stretch from their house to his. But as they rounded the corner, it was too late. The street was packed. This wasn't going to happen. In all three synoptic gospels, it says people were everywhere, leaning in the windows, little kids perched on their dad's shoulders. The door to the house blocked by a wall of humanity. Everywhere they turned, everybody they talked to, carrying him between them, the answer was the same. No. Nobody would give way. Nobody would let them through. And then it came to him in a flash. The stairs. The Pharisees and the doctors of the law were already there. The scribes, they were all assembled. They weren't in the house. They were outside. They had come from all over Galilee, Judea, even from Jerusalem, the capital city. It's quite probable that the conflict that is recorded in John chapter 5 is why they were there. John records that there's an invalid of 36 years laying by the pool of Bethesda. Jesus walks up to him and says, "Do you want to be well?" The answer is yes. It's the Sabbath day. Jesus says to him, "Take up your bed and walk." They were furious, the Jews, the leaders. Every indication is that they dispatched a group from the Sanhedrin themselves to begin to follow him. They were sitting outside that house in Capernaum that day. The Greek word indicates that they were by, not in. Just close enough to hear and to see what was going on. Sent from the church leadership to keep an eye on a young preacher who didn't have a license from them to preach, and they didn't think he cared a bit. In fact, they were pretty sure he was absolutely sure he didn't need one. It's quite possible, like I said, that this was Peter's house. Walls made of stone. Timbers laying across the top of the walls. Grass and sod placed in and tiles put everywhere to protect from the weather. Inside, Jesus was teaching. He's teaching them the Hebrew Scriptures. He's teaching them our Old Testament. You ask, how do you know? Because Jesus lived in the Old Testament. He lived in that time. It was part of who He was. He defined the law. He fulfilled the law. He was the New Testament. He might have been teaching about the prophet Isaiah. It could have been an explanation of the 613 Levitical laws given to the Israelites by Moses, what we call, the theologians call, the Mosaic Law. Or he could have been talking about the Decalogue, Robert. The Decalogue. Five laws about God. Five laws about man. We call it the Ten Commandments. Can you imagine? Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers of the law, and the contingency of the Sanhedrin sitting right outside the door, listening in. Not just the people from the town, but everybody there packed outside and inside that little room. They didn't have houses like we have today. They were either one big room or a big room and a little room. And a staircase that went up the outside of the house to the roof. Those Sadducees and Pharisees are just waiting for him to make a mistake as he preaches. As he teaches them, they're just listening for something that he will say that they can grab onto and race back to Jerusalem to tell them. Bear with me for a second. He is teaching them the Ten Commandments. They're waiting for him to make a mistake. They don't realize he's the one who held the tablets. It was his voice that shouted from the top of Mount Sinai, "Thou shalt have no other God before me." And it was his finger that wrote in solid rock that commandment and handed it to Moses. Think about that for a minute. This is what Exodus 31:18 says. And he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking to him on Mount Sinai, two tablets of the testimony. Tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And they thought he was going to make a mistake? They didn't know they were talking to the Son of God, and Jesus was in the house. Those scribes and Pharisees sitting outside had to have seen those four men work their way, pressing around, trying to get through the crowd, and then suddenly realizing the stairs were open, and they made their move. They're up and on top of the rooftop, and then they go out of sight. Jesus is teaching inside. Two little pieces of straw. I know it's my imagination, Jeff, but I can't help it. Two little pieces of straw, and then suddenly a clump of dirt. Everybody there looks up and they see a man's hand reach through the sod and pull a tile up. And sunlight streams through. And then Jesus looks up. What do you think he sees in the eyes of that man looking down? They had to look down. They were digging through the roof. They had to know where he was because they were intent on taking their friend and placing him in front of Jesus so he could do something for him. More tiles get ripped up, enough to be able to lower that man in his little bed down through the roof and onto the floor. Verse 20 says, "And he saw their faith and said, Man, your sins are forgiven." In Mark, it's recorded like this, "Son, your sins are forgiven." In the Greek, it's child. Your sins are forgiven. Can you imagine their consternation? They had brought him, put him in front of the Lord so Jesus could heal him. That's what they were waiting for. Your sins are forgiven. Jesus doesn't heal him, he forgives him. He knows exactly what those four men are after. He recognized their faith when their eyes met. Before they ever dropped that poor soul at his feet. It says, he saw their faith. But you see, when Jesus looked at that paralyzed man, he saw his real need. When he looked in his eyes, he knew what he needed to do for him. And it wasn't take away his palsy. It wasn't to take away the lack of strength and the paralyzed legs that hung below him. He needed forgiveness. He needed his sin to be gone. He looked in his eyes and he knew what nobody else could know, that he needed forgiveness, and he said to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven." He could have healed him. That would have been enough for the four. But that wouldn't have been enough for the man on the mat. It would not have been enough for the man laying on the mat. Jesus, the name above all names, the one we worship, the power of the name. Oh, that we understood his heart. The heart of Christ Jesus. That what he sees is beyond what we even realize that we need. And he is there waiting to meet our need. He looked in his eyes and he saw the desperation. He saw the lack of hope. And his desperate need for forgiveness. Instantly, his life was changed completely. Instantly, peace flooded his soul. In the blink of an eye, all of his sin was gone. The guilt that had eaten him up. I remember a song I used to sing called "He Holds the Keys." There's a line in it that says, "And all of the guilt that eats at your soul like a cruel disease, he took care of it in an instant." It was gone. I know exactly how he felt. And if you're sitting here today and you've experienced salvation from Jesus Christ, you know exactly what he felt too. You know the peace that flooded his soul because your sins are washed away by the blood of the Lamb. The scribes and the Pharisees, they went ballistic. This is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus, just like he knew the heart of the men on the roof, the four, and he knew the heart of the man laying on the mat, he heard their thoughts, he perceived what was taking place inside of them, and the scripture, I love this, he answered them. Can you imagine? They're outside. They're going over all this. Man, if I got stuff I can take back to Jerusalem. We've got him now. And Jesus says, what's going on, guys? What's the problem? What's more difficult? To say your sins are forgiven or to say rise up and walk? You have to understand, he did not heal that man because of their faith, Charlie. He healed that man to prove to those people sitting outside that he was the Son of God. That's what the verse says. But so that you may know, it's verse 24, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, pick up your bed and go home. Instantly, healing virtue coursed through his body. Instantly, the power that opened blind eyes, that unstopped deaf ears, that took mute mouths and made them speak, flowed through him. The power that cleansed lepers. The power that raised the dead. The power that stilled water and calmed the wind. The power that made the lame to walk. Instantly, legs that hadn't moved in years, muscles that hadn't contracted for decades, sinews that had never pulled, ligaments that hadn't moved. The healing power of God coursed through him. And he got up, he picked up his bed, and he went home, and it says he went home glorifying God. I know exactly how I felt. It's been almost 50 years. I remember it like yesterday. Nyla's nodding her head. I was just a young teenager. I had left to go on a revival to revival meetings with my dad so I could sing with him. We were in just outside Everett, Washington. We had gone to SeaTac Airport to pick my mom up after the Sunday evening service. We had 3 weeks of revival meetings scheduled. I got up early that morning. I was going to fix some waffles. Surprise them. I had never cooked on a gas stove. I took a cast iron skillet, and I put it on the burner, and I kicked it on high. Went over and I got the tub of Crisco and I scooped out ladle after ladle and dumped it in. I went back to the Betty Crocker recipe book. I was measuring out Bisquick and I turned around and there were flames 3 feet high off the stove. I walked over, I picked up that skillet, and I headed towards the sink. And in mid-stride, I felt two hands grab me by the ankles and slam me to the floor. I couldn't move. Fire everywhere. And I was stuck in the middle of that kitchen. I yelled for my dad. He came in. I never heard him use the word God except in prayer or worship. And the words that came out of his mouth were, oh my God. Can you put it down, Mark? I tried. It burned all the eyelashes, all of my eyebrows off of my face. Can you set it down? I couldn't move. There were hands locking me to the floor. He said, get it as low as you can and just let go of it. And just as I let go, it flashed over. And the last thing I remember are these huge balls of fire coming right at my face. The fireman that came said if I had gotten to the sink, it would have blown the window right out of the kitchen. Could have blown the wall right off the side of the house from the explosion. It blew my little brother up against the doorway. It seared me from the top of my head all the way to my jeans. Through my jeans, a quarter of an inch into my kneecaps. Burned this whole side of my face almost off. When I opened my jaw, you could see daylight through my cheek. Cooked him. He was standing there in his skivvies. It cooked him from the waist down. I can remember laying on the bed that afternoon, screaming my head off from the pain. They soaked me in tubs full of ice, trying to stop the cooking. They couldn't get the grease off of me. There was nothing they could do. It burned a quarter of an inch into my thumb, up my arm, on my neck, across my face, my chest. Two days later, I was laying in a hospital bed in the middle of my living room because they were scared to death to even take me to the burn ward in Seattle. I went into shock. Any of you that are nurses know that 3 days later can be disastrous for a burn victim. I was out of my mind. I had a light switch on my neck. In my head, I had a light switch on my neck. I couldn't talk to anybody and make any sense at all. They called for my dad. He came in. He knelt down by my bed on Tuesday night. He looked at me and he said, I'm going to pray for you. When you wake up in the morning, you're going to be okay. I woke up Wednesday morning. I was wrapped and Telfa pads, and Neosporin, and AMD ointment, and gauze. All I could just barely see out of my right eye. This one was burned completely shut. My best friend had come up from south of Washington. He walked in the door. He didn't even recognize me. He didn't know who I was. That's how mangled my face was. I'm laying there in that bed. I'm looking out the window. I saw a hummingbird come over and start working the honeysuckle bush outside the window. You know how they do? And just like that, I felt what this man felt. I felt this warm fluid start at the top of my head and roll down my face and across my chest and down my arms and out my feet, and I begin to itch like crazy. I started yelling, get it off of me. I was trying to pull gauze and pads and everything. My mom ran in. The nurse that was there ran in. They started unwrapping my head. They started peeling off the bandages, and everywhere they peeled the Telfa pad back, I had brand new pink baby skin. I was whole by the power of God. I have two scars, one on my thumb and one on my elbow, so people don't think I'm making it up. There are pictures too. I walked into that Sunday evening service, walked up on the platform, picked up a bass guitar, Jeff, and started playing. touched by the man from Galilee. I know what it's like to think my life is over. I know what it's like to be healed. I know what it's like to be forgiven. I know what it's like to know I'm lost and then be found. I know what it's like to be physically burned to a crisp, emotionally devastated by a relationship, spiritually shipwrecked because of my own will. I know all those things, but I know the power of God that can touch you and change you, heal you inside and out. I know what it's like to have Him see me, Robert. See my need. Look down and touch me. See my wretchedness, my hopelessness, and forgive me. I don't know where you came to church this morning. I don't know what your needs are. I thought as I stood there holding Katie's hand and we began to worship the Lord, I'm not going to pray for the needs today. I know what's coming. I know Jesus is in the house. And I don't know if you need forgiveness. I don't know if you need healing. But I can tell you the man from Galilee is here this morning. He wants to touch us. He wants to heal us inside and out, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. He knows our need. He sees us where we are, and He wants to do it for us. Those four, looking down from the roof at what was taking place below, had no idea what needed to happen. But Jesus did. They thought they knew. You might have thought when you came here today that you knew exactly what Jesus needed to do for you. But I can tell you, His plan's different than your plan. What He wants for you is different than what you think it is. He wants to reach down, see your heart, look at you, touch you, and emotionally, spiritually, and physically, He wants to say to you, take up your bed and walk. That man dropped through a roof to get in front of Jesus Christ. He walked out the door of that house later that afternoon completely different than how he came in. You can too. You can leave here different than how you arrived. If you came with sickness, you can be healed. If you came with sin in your life, you can leave with forgiveness and victory. If you came with no hope, let me tell you, there is hope. If you came looking for answers, the answer is here. The answer to every question you have, J-E-S-U-S, that's the answer. Jesus is the answer. Verse 17 says, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He bore the chastisement for our peace, and by his stripes we are healed. That's the promise of God's word spoken through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah. Hundreds of years before Jesus Christ stepped on the earth. They left there praising God. And this is what they said. We have seen extraordinary things today. Jeff, if you'll come, and if everybody here, just stand to your feet. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. I don't know if you need healing in your body. I don't know if you need healing in your mind. I don't know if you need healing spiritually. I don't know if you need to have Jesus take all your sin away, but whatever your need is, step out. Come right down here. Whatever God lays on your heart, whoever God's dealing with, just come on down.